Welcome to the Moves Room, everybody. It's just Brad and Joe today. Emily is in Fargo doing something. We're not sure what. She just said, no, I'm not coming. I'm in Fargo. No other details.
Yeah, and it's like one of those days where I'm actually around. It's been a while. Well, things have slowed down a little bit where I can at least be in my office one day a week.
One day a week. Yeah, that's how that works sometimes. You just... Yeah. I sometimes forget what's even in my office, and then you show up in your office and you're like, I don't remember leaving it this way, but I guess it's just been that long.
Well, and it's been, you know, it's harvest season, so everybody's, you know, trying to figure out corn silage. You know, we're going strong here, so it's a busy time. Not that I'm helping it, but it's kind of trying to pick up some of the other pieces while everybody's chopping to manage the daily things of doing rations and trying to figure out somatic cell and mastitis in the dairy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where we start to see a little bit of tractor disease in the cow herds, beef, dairy, doesn't really matter. There's some tractor disease that happens, and it's definitely a necessary evil, especially when it comes to corn silage. I mean, it is one of the most important times of the year. You're setting up nutrition for the rest of the year on your dairy. So if you need to sacrifice a little bit of the day-to-day and things get behind in some spots, I mean, it's just what needs to happen. But yeah, we do need to be conscious of that and making sure that someone's picking up the pieces at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned mastitis, Brad, and I know that you have said before we started recording that you've been having conversations left and right about mastitis this year, and we kind of expected that a little bit with how wet everything was in spring, that we were going to see a lot more mastitis. Now, it didn't get crazy hot this summer, so maybe we didn't see as much as we thought, but it's always a problem, and there's lots of dairies to deal with it. What have you been hearing?
Well, you know, so I've had lots of conversations with farmers, and I think of this as has been going on for all summer long. You know, it's been a challenge, you know, early on in the spring when it was wet and muddy, and you know, how do we control mastitis? And now it's kind of gotten to the point where I don't know if it's almost chronic in some of these cows, which I suspect might be happening because of the earlier, you know, June, July wetness. So it's been a challenge from lots of different farmers. I heard, you know, one herd couldn't get their somatic cell content under control, so they ended up selling the cows. So, you know, I don't want that to happen to anybody, that, you know, you can't get your cell count under control and then you have to sell the cows. That's probably the last resort, but I think there's a lot of things we can do before that.
Absolutely. There's always more things that we can do. When we're talking about somatic cell, you know, if someone comes to me and says, I have a really high somatic cell count and I need it under control, the first thing we're doing is I'm looking at a list to find who is my biggest problem. And we're identifying those cows that are either chronic or just super high or continually high. And even if they can be a huge part of the bulk tank, especially on a smaller farm. And so if we need a quick fix, the quick fix is to find those few problem cows that are contributing the most to the problem and get them out of the tank until we can figure out what's going on. After that, we have a whole host of things that go into investigating mastitis. I've been talking to one of my veterinary colleagues a lot, and we've been talking a lot about problem solving on farms, whether that's beef or dairy. And it really, there's a lot of different things that can happen. And what we want and what everyone wants to happen is we want it to be a simple bug and drug. That's what we want, right? Identify the bug, treat the bug, done. So bug and drug, that is what we all want for a problem because it's easy to solve. And the amount of times that is the extent of the problem and where we can stop is pretty rare, unfortunately. And that includes mastitis.
Well, you know, it's been a struggle here, even with our herd. You know, I'll admit it's been challenging. Over, you know, if I look early part of the summer, we've in our, let's talk about our conventional herd first. You know, we've averaged about 310,000 across the whole summer for our somatic cell count, and it's been sometimes as low as 220. But you know, some days I look through it, and oh, there's a spike to 470 on certain days. I had 3 days in a row. In early August, I think it was raining. I had a 420, a 450, and a 420. And it was, and you know, if I look today at the last pickup, we've got it down to 190. So it hasn't been easy in our conventional herd. And everybody's like, oh, well, you can just treat those cows and be done with it. Well, I don't know if that's the easiest thing. Yes, we have treated some of those cows, but there are still problem cows within the herd.
Absolutely. So I think that's the first step, is you need to sit down with the records and identify those cows. Now, the crazy high cell counts, like incredibly high, like through the roof, sometimes those cows are, you know, kind of a snapshot. Like they have some kind of gram negative issue. Their somatic cell goes through the roof and it comes right back down as they clear that infection. Those aren't really the cows I'm talking about as problem cows. Yes, they're a problem because we want to eliminate that kind of mastitis as much as possible. But the cows that are chronic, that are constantly riding high or cycling high and low and high and low all the time, those are the cows, the chronic cows, that we need to address right away. And I said, you know, mastitis can't be solved a lot of times with just bug and drug, but we still need to know what bug, right? I mean, that is step one. And if you're, some people do routine bulk tank testing to just kind of take a snapshot of what's going on across the board on the dairy. Some people are testing every clinical cow. Some people are not testing anything. What are you doing, Brad? Are you looking at your bulk tank at all? Are you looking at individual animals? What are you testing when you have a problem?
Well, we start with the bulk tank, definitely. You know, that's kind of, we do monthly testing in our bulk tank, especially with our organic herd. We're testing every month to see what's going on. I think if you look at our bulk tank results from both of our herds, it will tell you we have a low level of Staph aureus. So, you know, some people might, oh, you got high counts. That's Staph aureus cows. Well, we have it. It's at a very low level, probably the lowest level it's been in 10 plus years. And the big one that keeps showing up on all of our tests is Staph species. That's the big one. I've seen that multiple times, all the time, you know, and that kind of goes back to, you know, either poor cow prep, milking wet cows, wet bedding, the environment is, you know, wet and dirty. So it's, that's what we're finding in our herd, and which I suspect is causing some of our spikes that we see, you know, up and down and all over the board.
Yeah. And when we test, you know, especially bulk tank testing, I think sometimes there's bugs that we need to look for specifically. And in general, we're just trying to categorize everything into infectious or environmental. That's a big category we need to decide right away. Gram negative, gram positive, those are big things to decide right away. But then the bulk tank can also help you with ones that are a little less common, but can cause a big problem, especially if you're not looking for them specifically, like Prototheca or Mycoplasma, you know, things that can cause a really big problem, but you have to know they're an issue and look for them specifically to really get a handle on what's going on. So I think the bulk tank helps a lot with those kind of things. And it tells you where to look. Like Brad said, you know, we're getting this in our bulk tank and our somatic cell is rising. Well, I know that it could be the rain because we have wet cows. It could be that our prep is struggling, or we need to kind of rehash and make sure that we haven't drifted in the protocol. Protocol drift is real, to look at prep. Or if all that checks out good when you go look at it, we need to go digging a little deeper. And do we have a cow comfort problem? Do we have a cow cleanliness problem? There's all sorts of things to look into. And that's where it gets tricky, because it's not just a bug and drug problem. It's a systems issue where you got to go looking a little deeper and fix something broken in the entire system.
We do DHI tests. So we test for somatic cell count on all of our cows once a month. Obviously, I think that's, you know, never enough, because that's just a snapshot in one day. And, you know, if a cow has mastitis or something, she's going to be high. And so even we've actually been doing some additional somatic cell count testing. I've been testing some high cows. We've treated some cows to figure out if we can lower the counts. But today, I'm at a loss, and we are actually sampling, you know, individual cow sampling. There's 20 cows I think we're doing today. I'm going to take them to the veterinary diagnostic lab at the University of Minnesota so they can do some individual cow cultures to see actually what's there. You know, are we with our conventional cows, are we using the right antibiotics, or do we need to call these cows? You know, what's actually there? Is it, you know, are these the staph cows, staph aureus cows, or are they something else going on? So I haven't cultured cows in a while because, you know, I think there's a time and a place for it, but, you know, it's kind of to that point now or again, where I'm culturing individual cows to figure out what's going on and, just to see what I can do or, you know, how to either treat those cows or if I have to call them. So that's, you know, kind of the last resort after we've done, you know, bulk tank and somatic cell count, and now it's culturing cows to see, you know, is there something, you know, is it consistent across these cows or what's actually going on?
Well, and I think this is where I will contend and argue with anybody in the university system that the dairy at Morris is more like real life than any other animal unit in the university system, because we have problems and we solve them like I think a real farmer would. We're not going above and beyond and getting to this gold standard of everything. We're trying to manage it like it's an actual dairy. And so Brad's talking exactly how I would talk with a client when I was in practice. You know, yes, of course, it would be excellent if every time you had any clinical mastitis, you cultured it on farm and you knew exactly what was going on and you knew what bug and what drug you should give and if you should give one at all of those things, right? But in reality, not every dairy is going to have the time or the resources or the want to do that. So when we look at these things, I like that when we're progressing, right? Like you do something, there's an intervention, there's some kind of test, like a bulk tank test. You then come in with something to try to fix things. And if it doesn't work, you go to the next thing. You don't just keep beating your head against the wall. You're looking at individual cows and it's like, well, something else has to be going on. Let's dig a little deeper. And so I like that this is how this dairy operates, because it is like real life. Like it's not the standard university. We're going to try to do the best thing all the time, every time, regardless of cost and regardless of economics or time or labor or anything. So this is real. This is real life to me, where yes, you just got to keep moving to the next thing when you don't stop and just keep doing the same thing over and over again, even though it's not working.
Well, and that was one of the things that one of the farmers had said, well, that I was talking with. He's like, oh, well, you're having the same problems that I am. It's kind of like real life. I'm like, yes, we deal with a lot of those issues, and we try to solve it as best we can. And I think, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to talk about this today, is that it's been on my mind for most of the summer, and it's kind of got to the, I shouldn't say frustrating point, but it's to the point now where I'm sampling individual cows and what to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, when the individual cow samples will give us a lot, you know, you'll have exactly, and there's oftentimes more than one thing going on, right? And you're going to have a combination of things that come back on those individual cow tests. You're going to have a combination of environmental, infectious, and either no growths or gram negatives, I would guess. So that way you have the whole gambit of things, but you hopefully will be able to narrow down where you need to focus next. Now, the one thing that is different than a lot of dairies is that your cows are outside, right? So we've got cows that are outside. So when we talk like classic cow comfort things, most things apply, but stall design and indexing across sand bedded free stalls is not something that works with your conventional cows, right? Not in the summer, at least, because they are out on pasture, right? It's a little different. So we've got the weather in play, and that the cow comfort thing still applies, but we have maybe a little less control.
Yeah, that's the challenge with our dairies. Everything's outside, so it's kind of hard to manage that. I think that's where we try to focus, and I might have to turn back my focus to the milking parlor again to make sure that, you know, protocols are being followed, cows are being, you know, cleaned as well as they can be, you know, or getting teat ends clean, getting cows clean, and actually milking clean cows instead of, you know, a milking unit is the best cow cleaner in the world. You know, it will clean off dirt and mud and everything like nothing. But the problem is that gets sort of sucked back up into the teat and causes a systemic infection. And I suspect that's probably where we're at with some of these cows, is they've just gone chronic and it might be difficult to cure.
Yeah. And it's been a little bit since I've done a full parlor audit. But they're not terribly difficult as long as you have buy-in from your employees and there's trust there. Because no one likes working with someone just like standing and looking over the shoulder the whole time. It's horribly uncomfortable for everyone involved. But if you have enough trust and a good relationship there, and you've developed this farm culture where we're no one's to blame, we're just trying to make sure things are going right and making sure that everyone hasn't drifted a little bit or been trained in wrong by other employees or whatever it is, it doesn't matter what's going wrong. No one's being blamed for anything. We're just trying to get to the bottom of it. If you can get to that, you can stand there and you can have a stopwatch, but I mean, that adds some awkwardness and pressure to the situation as well. But I think prep, getting the times mostly right, and doing all the cleaning steps and proper prep are probably the most important pieces of this when we talk about mastitis. And I don't know if we've ever talked about it on this show about impacts and how that works or what they are. In the parlor, when you hear that squawking noise, that's air coming into the system that probably shouldn't be there. And it happens, right? Cows move around, they kick units off, they don't, units aren't perfectly fitted to that teat all the time at all times. And what that does is it allows an impact to happen where droplets of milk or whatever is in the unit to get shot up into the udder. That's where you get mastitis. And like Brad said, it's an incredibly effective way to clean dirty teats is to put the unit on and let the unit clean them and then shoot all those things back up into the udder.
In these conversations with different farmers, it kind of goes back to what you were said earlier, Joe, was about, you know, I got this problem, we need to treat it. So a lot of people are going, well, what do I treat it with? What do I look for? You know, and in whether it's in our organic situation, you know, we do use some organic treatments to help to see if it will work. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. You know, there's no magic bullet for organics either to see. They're sort of natural essential oil type products. I've been working with a sort of a natural product in our conventional herd as well to sort of help reduce the use of antibiotics. The problem is you got to catch it when mastitis is early on. You know, if it's kind of full blown mastitis, watery, it's not going to work. And there's maybe some indication that will help lower somatic cell count cows of chronic cows. So, you know, we're trying to explore some of those sort of treatments, I guess you could call them, if they're happening and if they're working. You know, there's no magic bullet that's going to cure this. And I think that's why, you know, we've focused on, obviously there's milking parlor, there's culturing cows, there's some treatments. You know, we're trying to kind of go at this from three or four different areas versus trying to say, oh, we got this problem, let's treat. And I think that's the biggest thing that, you know, like you said, people just want a treatment right away and get it over with and move on. And, you know, this, some of these cows that we have, I probably should have called a long time ago, but here we are, you know, late summer and, you know, we've had chronic cows for a few months. So I'm kind of that's why we're kind of culturing cows today, but I think that's part of the process. It's not just looking for some magic drug that's going to cure it. And, we all know that they're probably isn't. That's not out there.
No, it isn't out there. And unfortunately, when we talk about complex issues like mastitis, we want a simple fix. That'd be great. And we try to do the simplest fix first. But most of the time, the answer to a lot of these questions, and especially when it becomes a systems problem, the answer to, well, what's the treatment? Well, the treatment is hard work, unfortunately. It's just looking at everything and looking at all the ways that we can prevent this from happening, and especially looking at what's in your control versus what's not within your control, right? There's a lot more that is in your control than you initially think a lot of times in these situations. But like the weather isn't necessarily in your control, right? So don't worry about the weather. But that means if that's going to weather is going to be outside of your control, then everything else has to be done as right as you can, right? So the parlor becomes even more important if you can't control how clean your cows are because of the weather, right? Now, we could argue you can control how clean your cows are, right? Bedding and making sure that there's enough pen space so that no one's sitting in the slop on the edge of the bedded pack. Or, you know, even if we're talking about a freestall barn, making sure that stalls are set up right, your stocking density is correct so you don't have cows that are alley cats and laying down in the alley, and that indexing is correct so we don't have manure in the stalls. There's all sorts of things that can affect cow cleanliness. But unfortunately, with a lot of these situations, you go back to that elusive cow comfort, right? What is it? Well, it's everything. Bedding, ventilation, cooling, pen space, bunk space, water space. All of those could be contributing to mastitis. And if we want to make the full loop into how integrated this can be, you know, pen space, bunk space, water space, anything that involves stocking density, that where you have limited resources, can ultimately even come back to repro. If you have, like, Brad's dairy is a little different, right? Because they seasonally calve. But if you're a conventional dairy that calves year round, your facilities can get stocked up at times of the year because your repro isn't consistent year round. So you get slugs of calves, which means you have slugs of cows in your facilities. It becomes a fully connected loop eventually, where we start talking about mastitis and we end up talking about summer cow cooling that affects repro and causes slugs of calves. I mean, it's all connected. And that, unfortunately, is where most of our problems lie on the dairy. So you got to go back to the systems approach.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I hope to, you know, after treatments and somatic sow counts, and now the culturing that we're doing today, I think is going to lead me to some sort of conclusions. And on some cows, I know what that conclusion is going to be. And it's going to be, it's time to go to be called, because it's just chronic and I'm not going to be able to solve it, especially the Staph aureus cows. If a Staph aureus pops up on a chronically infected cow, I think, you know, that's my indication that it's time to call those cows. But I think it's going to help us figure out, you know, what's going on. And I think the bulk tank cultures are good. It kind of leads you in a direction that you should be thinking about. But now I think these sort of cows that it's kind of like, and there are cows that we're testing today are 450,000 somatic sow count. And it's like, well, what's going on with them? Do we need to treat them, or are they just going to be high? There are some cows that we are treating today that are 3 million, you know, it's kind of all over the board. So I think it's going to, you know, help us figure out what to do today. And I guess we'll see where it goes. I'm just not sure what's going to happen, but.
So question specifically to your system, Brad, you calve seasonally, which means you have some cows that are going to calve in the fall here. That puts you at a little different spot when you're talking about culling. You have a lot of cows that are going to be calving kind of soon, right?
Well, we have started already. We've had two calves on the ground, so it's coming.
So how does that impact your culling decisions as you look at everybody? Are you then looking at, you know, days carried calf to look at, okay, where is everybody? And maybe we're just talking about drying up early so we can get those calves, or how does that work into that?
Yeah, you know, we've done that too. Drying up early is one of the tools that I've used to help with these cows that are sort of maybe a little bit chronic, higher somatic cell count. We calve now, and, you know, we won't calve for those cows until March, but, you know, if I wait another month or two, I could probably dry them up in November a little bit, you know, a month or two early, depending on what their milk production is. But yeah, it sort of helps with a lot of culling decisions. We have lots of cows calving, but then we have some of these cows that are late lactation, high somatic cell count, what to do with them, you know, is it time to get rid of them? I'll tell you one of the big factors is if they have high somatic cell count, and we're doing a preg check here in a few weeks. If you're high count and you're open, that is number one, you are going to go to market. I won't tolerate that sort of things. It's just kind of a double whammy for those cows. yeah, it helps manage inventory and cows. So I kind of have to think about, okay, we got all these cows coming, you know, I have 130 cows and heifers calving until, you know, Thanksgiving time. And then I got some of these cows were going to dry off. And so it's kind of a jockeying, trying to figure out, you know, this seasonality of calving adds another aspect to it. But yeah, we manage well, and I try. I've bred too many to beef, so it's hard to manage cow inventory right now. It's like, oh man, it's like, we don't have enough cows. What's going on? And it's like, well, I've bred 80% of the herd to beef. So this is real world here, folks. This is real world, and we are facing it just like everybody else is.
Absolutely. It sounds like real world. There's lots of moving parts, and it's not easy decisions. Yeah, I've always kind of thought about that with your herd. You know, you feel like there's big sections. If the culling decisions happen at the wrong time for you, then you've got a lot invested into these calves already, and there's lots of them. So, you know, it becomes like, well, how do you make your problems worse a little bit by holding on to cows a little longer because you've already got calves that you've invested so much into inside them, and then you add inventory issues potentially if you're riding that line a little tight with beef versus sex semen or whatever you're doing. So yeah, I've always wondered, like, where there's a lot that comes into it. Now that the easy ones are easy, right? It's high somatic cell and open, but yeah, they're gone. You don't need to test them. You don't need to know what's going on with them. They're gone. But everything else is a little trickier.
And everybody knows we feed whole milk. So it's like, well, do I keep around some of these high count cows just to milk them and feed calves, which we can have that debate another day about whether we should do that or not. But I think a lot of people do that. And I do too. It's like, well, I can either take good clean milk out of the bulk tank to feed calves, or I can keep, you know, 15 or 20 cows around to feed calves. And, you know, we pasteurize it and all of that stuff. So it's kind of one of those things. It's how do you manage all of this?
Well, real world. That's the bottom line. Right. These are real world problems. And it's always fun to go up there and have these discussions about what's going on, because yeah, it's exactly like the real world, and it relates perfectly. These are tough decisions to make. All right. I don't know if we solved anything today, Brad, but we certainly gave everyone a little to think about, I hope. And I guess that in summary, if you're having a problem with somatic cell, if you're having a problem with mastitis, it's a systems issue. Sometimes it's bug and drug, but you need to know what you're dealing with, because that tells you where to look. So either bulk tank testing or individual cow testing will tell you, it'll give you a better idea of where your solution is that doesn't involve antibiotics, prevention, and management strategies that will allow you to work your way out of the problem. So that's why we're identifying bugs even more than what to treat with. It's where to look so that we can prevent this from happening in the first place. Fair?
That is fair. That's you hit it right on.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll wrap it there. Hopefully, Emily will be back next week. It's always tough to track her down sometimes, exactly. Especially as harvest season starts up and she's talking about safety. So with that, we will wrap it. If you have comments, questions, scathing rebuttals, please send those to the moosroom@umn.edu. Check us out on Twitter @UMNmoosroom and @UMNFarmSafety. Check Bradley out @UMNWCROC Dairy. Look at our website, extension.umn.edu. That's about as much as I can remember right now. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.